Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the prophet Haggai. Haggai writes, "On the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king, on the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you, when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea also, and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give you peace, declares the Lord." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. We have had a lot of words today, so I'm not looking at adding a great deal more. I think I just want to tie up what was already a really good day with just an encouragement to keep on believing as we go out of this door. You know, we as humans do a lot of things that are rites of passages. We love to celebrate. Today, of course, we had a baptism. Yesterday, it would have blown your mind. We had a wedding here, and this entire sanctuary was transformed. It was a blended Christian-Jewish wedding. I stood right here under a chuppah, which I don't know if that's Wilson's first ever chuppah. Like, you would have to tell me, but it was pretty cool. And I had a rabbi standing next to me, and we went back and forth in the service, and everything that we talked about, of course, at a wedding, we talked about love. But I had this sermon and this day in my mind, of course, while I was doing the wedding. And I realized that how much of that wedding was also about proclaiming hope. You know, I got married over a year ago now, just into one. And then I've performed tons of weddings. And there are people in this room that have gotten married. And I think if we didn't have hope, there's no way we would do that. No way. Because the thing about a wedding, and you are literally standing in front of people saying, I dedicate my life to now include someone else in all of my decision making. My life is going to be somewhat dictated by this new relationship. My days of just kind of living my life any way that I want to live it is done. And I am choosing. That is, sounds like a terrible advertisement for marriage, I realize. But it's the hope that we stand in front of one another and say, I believe that this union that we are doing together, and in this case, it was more than just a couple of different individuals coming together to get married. It was two houses, two religions coming together, that gluttons for punishment in what they were doing if they did not believe that the latter would be greater than the former. As we enter into a baptismal situation like we did now, it's the same. You know, church is not always awesome. I know, there are a few people here going, yeah, no kidding, man. Church sometimes, on a Sunday morning, you're thinking, do I really need to go and gather with these people? And I don't want to do, there's so many other things that I want to do, but we continue to gather with God's people and we bring our children to say, we are making a promise to dedicate our lives and the lives of our children and our family into this thing called Christianity and this life called the church. If we didn't have hope that the latter would be greater than the former, we would never do this. Why would we do this? Why would we choose to commit ourselves to a new family of people that are different? In which case, sometimes people that are odd and they think differently than us and they have perspective differently than us, and we are called to walk with them. It's because we have hope. If we didn't have hope, we wouldn't do it. It's unnatural. It's terrifying. Hope is dangerous. In our passage today, the prophet is trying to infuse hope within God's people. See, when the prophet was writing, God's house was not what God's house used to be. The days of its glory had seemingly passed. The house was in disrepair, not just physically, but spiritually. It was not that place that people looked forward to gathering, where there were songs being sung and sacrifice being made and feasts being had. The culture was in a different place. Haggai is speaking to that world, that it's not what it used to be. But the prophet calls out those who might remember what it was. And there are people in this room right now who say, I remember what the church used to be. And we might be talking about the church universal, but we also are talking about Wilson. In my time here, and I'm in my ninth year here, so think about how many times I've heard the phrase, oh, when it was like this, when Sunday school was so big and we had hundreds of people, when we had two services here, when we would take five buses to camp, when we would. And we talk about that time of what Wilson used to be. For those of us that are present, sometimes those things are hard to hear because we look around and say, I don't know what to do about that right now. Does that mean that we are on this downward trajectory and we should all just pack it up? It was true that we were filled with life and then it's not. But what do we do with where we are? How do we find some hope? The whys of where we are, why we are where we are, that's for another sermon. Today, I just want to leave you with a reason to believe. And I want to give that reason as Daniel, the one who is asleep on his father's shoulder right now. The faith of Daniel's parents say that they believe in the present and future glory of this house. See, I know them. They love their child. And they would not seek to align him with something that was less than everything that Daniel deserves in his life. We, dear family, dear house of God, are that place that the Henry family believes is the place to raise their child, because they see our future glory as even greater than our present. I do want to be clear that Daniel is not here to grow our church the way that we are comfortable with it, the way that we are familiar. See, Daniel's job, he's not even one. Daniel's job is not the preservation of Wilson Memorial Church. Daniel's job is to join us who are curators of the wonders of God. That's who we are. That is the spirit on which this church was founded. It was founded by curators of the wonders of God, the people of God who knew God, who walked with God, who loved to be together, who loved to sing, who loved to celebrate, who loved to eat together and work together and serve together. That is where this church was founded. And that is the faith that we hold on to. Do you know why churches die? Churches die because they are trying to hold on to the glory of the past. And we do it through stories. We do it through complaining. We do it by forcing the next generation to form a mold that they have not been accustomed to. And you know what that next generation does? They leave. Because they know the vision and the life that lives within them. But churches that thrive are the ones that are able to listen to the voice of God as God speaks to the world around us. And we find ourselves able to speak to the grace of God in a language that matters to our world. Parents are so vital to the nurture and faith of a child, to leave room to teach them what they have learned in their lives, and then to leave room for their faith to grow. And we as the body of Christ are the same with the generation that's coming before us. Their job is not to make Wilson Memorial Church the church that we remember. Their job is to take the trust that we pass along to the next generation as we nurture them and guide them and leave room for them to create the Wilson Memorial Church that is to come. The body of Christ that is to come. One that is filled with life and hope. You know, I wouldn't be here if I did not believe. I do love celebrating and standing with all of you through the cycles of your life. I've celebrated births. I've presided with deaths, illnesses, marriages, and I'm honored to be there for all of it. But I'm not present for merely our life cycles. I'm here for the hope. I'm here for the hope that our present participants, we will gather together and seek the face of God and build the city of God together, one that is embracing and inclusive and filled with justice and joy. Today we promised it to Daniel, and we owe it to Daniel to live a life that holds so firm to God's promise to deliver us to that promised glory, that daily, as the passage says here, that daily we will work for peace, we will fight for justice, embrace the marginalized, nurture the faith, celebrate our past, work in the present, and enter our future with an open heart. I can assure you, family, our best days are to come. Will you believe that with me? If so, say, with God's help, we will. Daniel, I promise you, we will do our best with God's help. Amen.